Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Don't forget to support the Father's Day by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate or locals.com in the description there. All right. I appreciate it. I have with me Jacoby and Abigail Perdue, and they are Christian missionaries and the hosts of the Father's Joy podcast. Amazing. Thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
How old, if you don't mind, how you guys look so young. How old are you?
I'm 25.
And I'm 21.
Wow. And so you're married.
Yes.
And
April 13th, 2024.
About 7 months ago.
Really? So that's like newlyweds.
Yeah, newlyweds.
Amazing. And do you obey him?
Of course.
No, does she obey? I'm asking Abigail, does she obey her husband, Jacoba?
He's asking.
Yeah, I mean, I do my best to submit in all areas that I can. Obviously, it's a dying to flesh type of situation. You got to die to flesh to submit to your husband in some circumstances. But that's what I try my best to do in our marriage, for sure.
Nice. And how does he deal with the hell in you when it comes out?
You said, how do I deal with the what?
The hell in me when it comes out?
Patience.
Patience meaning what? What do you do? Like when you wake up in the morning, she's just mad about nothing. Or, you know, I get right. What do you do?
Got some people that are morning people. You got people that like to sleep in. My wife is someone that likes to sleep in, and I'm more so of a morning person. So when it comes to that time of the day and I wake up, you know, I just give her space, let her sleep in, and then I go about my day, whether that's getting in the word or that's going and walking our dog. I just, you know, let her have her time, let her get her extra sleep in until she's up with me.
And so when she's angry, you just walk the dog?
Nah, you know, our dog, she's not often, you know, angry. We usually talk about it, talk things out.
All right. Does he get angry, Abigail?
No, he's a very calm person, so he doesn't really get, it takes a lot to get him angry. I haven't seen him super angry yet. I only know one circumstance where he got super angry at a friend, but I wasn't even there for that, so I haven't seen that side of him yet. I don't think. He's a very calm person. He doesn't raise his voice or anything, thankfully.
Right on. That's good. And why did you guys get married?
We got married on April 13th of this year, right. And we got engaged on February 14th of this year. So we met each other at church. I prayed for him for about a year because we knew it wasn't the time. Both of us had to grow spiritually in a lot of different areas. And one day he just reached out to me and we started talking and had the friendship phase and then eventually started dating. And we were just like, wow, it's great to be in a relationship that's centered on Christ, like reading the Bible together, praying together, leading each other back to the Word of God in every situation. And then we got engaged February 14th. So we prayed. We were like, Lord, when do you want us to get married? So we started fasting. And that same day that we started fasting, we got a call to be social media managers for an evangelist that travels the country for a living. So he does crusades with hundreds of thousands of people. And he was like, I would like to offer this position to both of you, which means travel. So we went to Brazil, Tanzania, he went to Honduras. And I was like, well, if we're going to travel and do mission work together, we got to be married.
Because, wow.
You know, we're doing mission work together, traveling the country together. We had time to get married and on mission. And that's what happened. So,
you saw him at church, right?
Yes.
And he was sitting over in the corner. And you looked over in that corner. You're like, Lord, I want that black man over there in that corner.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. It sounds like it.
Well, we were actually playing football and basketball. And I was like, he's athletic. Looks like a man of God. Okay. I see you. Kind of took note of it.
She took more than a note. She took a couple glances.
You did too.
And so did you pray to God for her too? Or were you?
Yeah, I was praying for him to open my eyes, and he made things very evident because there was multiple women in my life, but there was one that was persistent, one that was not, you know, leaving my sight. And it was happening.
And did you, were you like a slut maker beforehand?
Oh, you said a what? A slut maker?
Yeah. Before you got married, were you like, you had all these women, you a slut maker?
No. I was a very loyal man. You know, before Christ, I was really loyal as well.
You were really what?
Loyal.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And you were just loyal to a lot of women?
Say it again?
You were loyal to a lot of women?
No, I mean, as in, like, I had good morals, so I know how to treat a woman. But it was, when I said multiple women, I mean, like, it was a girl that I could have pursued, and there was another girl I could have pursued, but then there was my wife that I could have pursued.
Right on. Amazing. Well, congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you. And
tomorrow makes 7 months.
That's amazing. Are you guys going to have a bunch of babies?
In due time. We'll see when the Lord wants that to happen. But right now we're just kind of waiting because we're traveling to at least 4 countries next year. So we just want to continue to be on mission. And when the Lord tells us his time or whenever it is his time, it'll happen. But we're doing whatever we can to hold off a little bit on that because we definitely want to have babies in the future, but we're still young and traveling a lot. So obviously when you have a baby, the traveling, at least for the wife, has to go down a little bit because you have a newborn and all of that.
So when you, is Jacoby, when Jacoby say, I'm ready to make some babies, Abigail, are you going to give up all these things that you're doing and stay home and become a wife and a mother?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Lord has opened a lot of doors for us. So if I wanted to travel, they've even talked about having families go in the future. It would be more like the first year with the newborn staying home. And I'm fine with that as long as he's still doing it and he's still going on mission. Like, I'm fine with him leaving and going for like a week or so here and there to be on mission. Like, I never want him to stop doing that. It's such an opportunity and a blessing to even get to do that. And I know too, like, first and foremost, your children are your disciples. Like, they're in your house, they're little baby disciples. So definitely, like, that'll become my ministry during that season, of course.
And so you guys, this podcast, The Father's Joy, who started that and what is its purpose?
So that was me in July of 2022. I was just spending time with the Lord and he kind of just downloaded the whole vision. So Father's Joy is actually the meaning of the name Abigail. And that is why it's called Father's Joy. And growing up, my father wasn't always involved in my life. And I had a lot of voids in my heart before I knew the Lord and just like tried to fill it with everything in the world. But then when I came to know Jesus, it's like he became the heavenly father that I needed and also was able to fill those voids that my earthly father wasn't able to fill because he wasn't there. And I realized that my name was a representation of my testimony because I didn't have a father present in my life and the Lord became my father. So Father's Joy, and I am his joy. You know, we are the joy of the Lord. Like, he made us and knitted us together and everything. So I found my joy in the Heavenly Father. And he gave that to me in 2022. And I just kind of sat on it and I prayed about it. And I was like, Lord, I don't know when you want me to release this. I don't know when you want me to do any of this. So I sat on it and then he came into my life and started talking about it. And I was like, well, I'm definitely going to marry this man. So our ministries are going to go hand in hand. And he knew everything about editing and social media. And he does full-time videography and photography. So he does a lot of that work as well. So I was like, well, this is what we need to put the podcast together. So our ministries just coincided and we were able to launch the podcast January of this year.
And so how's it going?
It's actually doing really well, really well. We just edited one today. That's another one that's going to be dropping tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But we're just trying to be consistent as possible with all the traveling that we do. But we're going to be on our 25th episode this year.
Nice. Congratulations. So you guys are Generation Z's, right? Am I right?
Yes.
And so the Generation Z's, they seem to be lost and lonely and have no sense and crazy and
yeah.
What happened to the Generation Z's?
I mean, the basic answer could be sin, but I mean, reality is that it's just the world that we live in. It's the culture that's driven things to just be influenced by whatever's on social media, whatever's on YouTube, whatever's on TikTok, and we're just trying to be the light. You know, before every podcast, we just pray that one person's affected out of the 99. As long as one person's affected, then, you know, God is moving in their lives, and that's what really matters, so.
Were you raised by your father and mother?
Me? No, I was raised by my mother.
And where was your father, if you can say?
Our relationship, it wasn't, you know, I talked to him a couple times out of the month, but my mother ended up passing when I was 18, and then ever since then, my father, our relationship has been pretty strong.
So you're close to him now?
What was that?
You're close to him now?
Yeah, we speak often, though.
Oh, nice, man. And so did you forgive him for not being there?
Yes, sir.
Right on. And did you forgive? Go ahead.
I didn't have any hatred towards him.
Right on. And did you forgive your mother for recreating you in her image?
What do you mean by that?
You know, that anger that you have and limiting your imagination and all that. That come from your mother. Did you forgive her for doing that to you?
I didn't have anything towards my mother. I was just blessed that she was strong enough to raise me and my other siblings for who we are today. So I'm more, if anything, I'm grateful.
Yeah. So you had no anger toward her at all?
No, there was nothing to be angry at. Just gratitude.
Right. So you had none toward your mother, though?
Say that one more time.
You had no anger toward your mother at all?
No, because now that I'm 25, I grow up and I realize like how hard life is. And to do that as a single mother raising three kids, that's not easy at all. Yeah. So I applaud her and I thank her, even though she's not here this day. So I can like one or more see her in her eye and thank her. I'm truly grateful that a woman, not a man, but a woman can stay that strong, work, pick up two to three of her kids from school every day and do that every day, 5 days out of the week and work and still provide for your kids.
Right.
Never tell them, put them in sports and raise them as if money wasn't an issue when it could have been. I'm grateful.
Nice. And Abigail, did you forgive your mother for recreating you in her image?
I'm kind of in the same boat as him because she was obviously a single mom as well. And she went to college and got her master's in the midst of raising three kids.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm financially sorry to hear that.
She obviously went through a lot of battles, but she continued to put that continually strong face on, and she did a really good job at it. I mean, I have two other siblings as well, so she raised three of us, and we're all close in age, all did sports.
All graduated,
and the best part about it is, like, my grandparents, her parents were very involved, so that helped a lot as right. well. So I don't feel like I lacked, like, even though my dad wasn't there, I think it was more of a forgiving my dad thing, not my mom, because my dad was the one that obviously those voids started opening, and I have forgiven my dad, and we have a very good relationship now as well. So
nice. But have you forgiven your mother for those little things that would irritate you while growing up? You know, she controlling and all. Did you apologize to her for resenting her for being so controlling?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had a conversation before, like when my parents got divorced, I was upset at my mom, but it's because my dad had skewed it to be my mom's fault. And so I've apologized for those things. And we're in a really good relationship now, healthy communication and everything. And I now see things from her perspective. Like you said, when you're older, your eyes just kind of open to a lot of different things that you don't know when you're young. You don't comprehend when you're younger. So then you're able to be like, wow, that was the reality you were living in. And that was everything that you went through to just provide for us and be there for us as well.
You, so you forgave her for running your dad off, for running him off?
I understand now. So I definitely forgive her because I understand why that took place.
Right.
And when you understand and you get the backstory and you see the reasoning and it aligns with the Bible, you're like, okay, this makes sense. And because when you're young too, they can't explain everything that happened because you're too young to understand and to comprehend it. Because I was in Fifth grade when my parents officially got divorced, and like you're still young, you're still developing. If she tells me everything that's going on with my dad, it's just, it's not gonna digest well for a person that is that young. You're not gonna be able to comprehend those things.
And you went and forgave your father for not being there for you to protect you from her?
Yeah, I forgave him because he also was very, he's sick. So he has bipolar disorder. So it's like very, very high highs and very low lows.
Right.
And with that and understanding that as I got older and I see the illness, the mental illness in his life, you can see why the actions he took were the actions he took, because he's operating from a place of mental disability versus like doing it purposely. Like I fully believe my dad has loved me the best he possibly can.
Absolutely.
It's just that mental illness that blocks things sometimes and they act a certain way.
Amazing. And so you guys are Christian. Do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace?
Yeah. Do you guys have perfect peace? Because you're Christian, right? Am I right about that? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're Christians.
And so do you have perfect peace?
I have a peaceful mindset knowing that I know where I'm going after this. Like, I know my Lord and Savior, so yes.
I don't think that I will have perfect peace until I'm in heaven. Because the reality is we live in a sinful universe. So when we live in a sinful place, it's hard to have perfect peace because we're still battling that flesh every day. And we're still battling the enemy every day. So to have perfect peace, like, the Lord is perfect peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so continually reminding ourselves of his word and going back to his word. And whenever we get anxious, we can go back to perfect peace, which is the word of God, and continually to read that.
But Christ said he came that you might have perfect peace and have it now. Why won't you have it now instead of waiting until you get to heaven?
Well, I think that I can have it now. It is attainable now, but it's... like, I guess the way I would explain it is I battle with some things today because we live in earth, right? And what's on heaven, we can also have on earth, like we were talking about in Matthew yesterday. But basically, I feel like I have perfect peace when I'm sitting with the Lord and I'm in my word and I'm sitting in his presence. Like, that's perfect peace. But when I'm just like going about my day sometimes and I get in my flesh or I get in my head or I get, you know, the enemy's tactics or whatever, it just, it's never always 100%. And I believe it can be 100%. It's just a journey, you know, to get it there.
Don't you stay out of your head? Just all thoughts are all lies all the time. Why do you worship thoughts?
Well, I think that that's a simple flesh mindset. And like it says in the Bible, something about thoughts. We've watched a podcast on it. I forget what it's called. But
renewing our mind,
or renewing your thoughts. But I feel like we're constantly Romans 12. We're constantly rewiring our brains when you come into a relationship with Christ. Like, you're rewiring things, getting rid of the old, and the new is coming. So I think that my thoughts, like since I came to know Jesus, has definitely came a long way. But I'm not going to sit here and say it's 100%. I'm not going to say I don't think negatively here and there, because that would be lying. And I know though that the Lord's word stands true. So if I have a thought come in my mind, like how the Bible says to take it captive, like I'm going to do whatever I can to take it captive. Like, Lord, refresh my mind. And then what I'll do is I'll search scripture and I'll replace that lie or that thought with the word of God, like learning how to combat that, if that makes sense.
Let me ask your husband, do you create your own thoughts?
Do I create my own thoughts?
Do you create your own thoughts?
What do you mean by that?
Do you create your thoughts?
I mean, I think we're human, so we all have our own thoughts that come to mind. You have thoughts that are godly thoughts, and you have thoughts that are worldly thoughts.
That are what?
Worldly thoughts, like thoughts of this world.
And so do you create those thoughts?
I don't create them, but they might come about.
And where do they come from if you don't create them?
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry? Just,
I think us as humans, we have the brains, or sometimes certain people have the minds where they just wander off, and then a loophole gets into another loophole, and then a rabbit hole gets into another rabbit hole.
And so where do thoughts come from if you don't create them? Where do they come from? Have you ever wondered that? All these thoughts, where are they coming from? Or did you think that you created them?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
How about you, Abigail? Do you create your own thoughts?
I think that thoughts oftentimes stem from a root of something. Obviously, like if I think of the Lord or I think of his goodness, usually it's because the root is that I was in my word in the morning, you know, so then that thought came to my mind. Or if I think of negative things or I think of things in my past, it's because there's probably a root to it that I haven't healed from. You know what I mean?
And so do you create them?
In a way, yeah.
And how do you create a thought?
In a way, I feel like roots in our lives create those thoughts, like things that happen to us, things that we do, and how we spend our time create those things.
And so who are you, Abigail?
I'm a child of God. I think that the biggest thing I put my identity in is being a daughter of Christ. And that's what I try and stick to every day. When I'm doubting, when I'm going about my day, I just always try to do whatever I can to remember that I'm a child of God and how he calls us his children. And we've been adopted into his family and stick to that. Like we even, every time we talk to our dog, we say child of God, even though he's just a dog, it's just what we call him. But
and so you told me you belong to God. You told me what you do, but who are you?
I don't know how I would explain that. I mean,
she's a wife to her husband.
All right. So she's a wife, but who is, who are you? Jacob.
What? Well, I'm Jacoby.
Jacoby. I'm going to remember before it is over. Jacoby. Jacoby, who are you?
I'm Jacoby. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm the husband to my wife, Abigail. And, you know, I'm blessed and I'm just thankful. Thankful that I'm here. Today, the Lord's been showing me, like, people from my present life and people from my past life. And I've been able to see just through my old friend groups and who I'm friends with today of who I am, like who God is, where God has taken me and how far I've come. So I'm a grateful child of God.
Okay, so you told me who you belong to, the friends you have, what you do and all that. But who are you? Not what you do, who you belong to, but who are you?
How would you describe who are you?
Right. Who are you? Not what you do or who you belong to, but who are you?
Well, I want to know the answer that you're looking for.
I'm just trying to find out who are you. Not what you do or who you belong to, but who are you?
I'm Jacoby.
That's your name.
That's who I am.
So are you your name?
I'm me.
Are you your name?
What was that?
Are you your name?
I'm Jacoby.
But are you your name?
I'm a man. I'm a black African.
Amazing. Abigail, so you don't know who you are either? You just know what you do?
No, I feel that I know who I am because I know who God is, and that's why I put my identity in. And whether it's correlating to it or who I belong to or this, but I feel like my identity is fully found in that. And because of that, I know, like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I was created in his image. I know that I have these things in my life because of who he has made me to be and called me to be. Like, I know I'm a compassionate person. I know that I'm kind. I know that I will usually go out of my way to help other people and to lead other people. And that's, like I said, that all stems from knowing in Christ who I am. Like, I used to think that I was, like, before I knew Jesus, like you said, a lot of Gen Zers think this way. This was me before I knew Christ. But it's like, I used to think I was rejected. I used to think that I wasn't enough. I used to think that I wasn't loved. But now I know that script has flipped since I've came into relationship with Christ. Like, I know I am loved. I know I am chosen. I know I am set apart. I know those things. And that's why I put my identity in.
Do you guys believe that Jesus is God or the Son of God?
I believe he's both.
I'm sorry?
So I believe he's both.
You believe that he's both? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Yes.
You believe that Jesus is both?
Yes.
How about you, Abigail?
I agree with him.
Both. And why do you guys believe he's both?
Because we believe in the Trinity background of Christ.
What's that?
God. That he's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're just three in one.
And where you get that from?
That's just my belief.
You just made it up?
No, that's biblical background.
Where is that in the Bible?
That's in the text.
That's not in the Bible.
Huh?
He's asking where.
Where? Well, right. I mean, we'd have to turn this into a whole Bible study.
But it's not in the Bible anywhere.
But if you look in Genesis 1, it says...
If you look at the text, bring out the word. And why he's looking for it, Abigail, why do you believe Jesus is God and the Son and the Holy Spirit?
Well, for one, I think that, he is God because when Jesus came on earth, he was perfect. And he's perfect because he's God and he was able to fulfill the law. He was able to be sinless and die on the cross for our sins. And then through him, we then receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the goodness of Jesus. So it's three because God sent his Son. He was God in the form of man. He was perfect. And then when he died, he released this Holy Spirit to us. So that's
and
all.
And so when he said, my Father sent me, it's not me, but my Father in me. Mm-hmm. Was he talking about himself?
I'm not going to sit here and act like I know the answer to that. So I would have to do more digging on that.
I'm sorry?
I said I would have to do more digging on that. I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, okay. But so why are you saying that he's God and the Holy Spirit when you don't really know? Why do you say that he is when you don't really know that to be true or not? What's making you say it?
Well, that's just what we believe.
But why? I'm trying to understand why. And I'm not saying you're wrong or right. I just want to understand why you believe that when Jesus himself didn't believe it. Because he said, my Father and I am one. My Father sent me. I got to go off and pray to my Father. I have to do my Father's will. And he wasn't calling himself Father, right? So why are you believing something different than that?
Well, I think you did just mention, you said, my Father and I are one.
Right, Daddy and Son.
Like, they're one, so it kind of is going and saying that they are one, like they are the same. But the scripture that I was trying to show you, it's in Genesis 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals. So I think the key word is when he says, let us.
He had another person. That doesn't mean if he was God, he would just say, let me. Mm. He would have said us. That meant somebody else. It's like you and Abigail sitting there together, right? You know, if you want to make a baby, you're not going to say, let me make a baby. We're going to make a baby. It's two people there.
Well, this is how I comprehend
text. Let me ask
you
this. If you believe that Jesus is God, do you think you could do greater works than God?
I would say that was blasphemy.
I'm sorry?
I said I would think that is blasphemy, that it's God. He's the God, the creator of the universe.
So do you believe you could do greater works than God?
The scripture says we will be able to do greater things. I mean, it just depends on the context that you'd want to take that in.
And how about you, Abigail? You believe you could do greater works than God?
I would agree with the scripture he was talking about.
But he says greater.
Jesus said greater works we can do than what he even did. So do you think you could do greater works than God?
That's what the word says.
Right. But it didn't say he was God. Do you think God told you you can do greater works than God?
That's what the word says.
Amazing. So, what do you guys want young people to learn, or all people really, but what do you want young people to learn from your podcast?
The biggest thing is relationship with God, because I think that a lot of people our age, the reason why they push off church, they push off religion, is because of legalism and religion. And if we get past that into a place of relationship, like you can have a relationship with him yourself. You can pray to him. You can read the word. You can grow in an intimacy with him. Then your life will change. And I think that a lot of times people think you have to live up to this standard, but it's not like you're supposed to fulfill that standard. And through Jesus, when you have that relationship with him, that's when the desires of your heart start to change. It's not like I'm going to live up and be a good person and go to heaven. That's not how I see it. I see people need to have a relationship with him. And that's the biggest thing we talk about when we meet with people, when we pour into people, is like, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He doesn't want you to do everything right. And he knows you're going to sin. He wants to love you and he wants to work with you to continue to grow closer to him. And as you grow closer to him, the desires of your heart will start to change. Right, and on. So that's a
nice. And Jacoby, do you believe women? I got it, huh? A little bit. I'm trying not to forget it. Do you believe women were created to lead or to follow?
I believe they were created to help, to follow. And the men's supposed to be the leader of the household.
And so do you believe they were created to lead or to follow?
To follow.
I'm sorry?
Follow man's lead.
You believe women were created to lead?
I believe they're created to be a helper to men.
Right, but I'm asking you about, do you believe that they were created to lead or to follow?
I believe they were created to follow man.
They were created to follow?
Yes.
And do you believe that, and I'm going to ask you this too, Abigail, do you believe that, I notice in the churches today and around the world, business and everything, women are trying to be leaders, they're trying to be preachers, they're trying to lead. Is that from God or from hell?
Well,
I think.
Let me ask Jacoby, and then I'll come to you, Abigail.
I mean, I believe that they can go and testify. I don't think there's anything wrong with testifying what God has done in a woman's life. And I think, like, if a woman's traveling alone, they need to have a leader in that group. They can't just have them just walking astray. Then nothing's going to happen. They won't be able to be the hands and the feet of Christ.
I know, but should they be allowed to be preachers and teachers and all those things? Should they be allowed to be leaders in a church or anywhere?
I don't think a woman preacher, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. You don't believe a woman could be a preacher and all that?
If a man is supposed to be the head,
He's the head of the woman, right?
Yes, the head of the woman.
Right.
If a man is supposed to be the head, how is a woman going to be the head of a church of man and woman?
Absolutely.
She's supposed to be underneath the man. I do believe, however, that woman can minister to woman. Like, I'm going to a women's conference this weekend to preach.
Are you a preacher?
I'm not a pastor or a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm going to share the word of God, but it's at a woman's, it's all woman. It's not. So I think that's different. If I was preaching at a church and I was a pastor of a church of man and woman, I don't agree with that. But if I'm going to a women's conference and speaking to women, that is completely different because I'm not speaking to a body of men or over men, you know?
But even that's when women speak to women, they don't tell women the truth. You notice that?
As in, like, what do you mean? Like,
definition of truth.
Yeah. What would you say?
They make the women feel good and they make them think that they are right because it's hard for a woman to tell another woman the truth about herself, how the cow ate the cabbage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I've met some where don't tell the truth and I've met some that do. I think it's really just, is the woman in accordance with the Spirit of God? Is she continually seeking the Lord on what she's speaking on? And if she's just trying to sugarcoat it, then it's like you're not doing the other people any good.
Right.
I don't sugarcoat it. I'm very plain as day. Like, that's against the Word of God. We're not going to do that. And that's how I speak to women. And that's how, when I meet with women, it's the same thing. Like, if you come to me and you're telling me like you're walking in sexual immorality, I'm going to be like, respectfully, it goes against the word of God. I'm going to help you where you're at, and we can do what we can to help get you out of this. But I'm not going to sit here and let you just be comfortable in your sin if you're wanting to get out. Like, I'm not going to make you feel good in that, because then you're going to be content in it.
Yeah. So you don't believe that women were created to follow, I mean, to lead either? You believe they were created to follow and not to lead?
Yeah.
Do you think a man should listen to a woman?
I mean, I don't think, as far as listen to a woman, I feel that if we have a conversation about a topic and he's listening to my perspective, I think that's fine. If he doesn't agree with my perspective and thinks we should go about it a different route, then I'm just going to submit to him and go his route. But as long as he still heard me out, he still hears what I think about the situation. But if he feels the Lord's leading him in a different direction, ultimately I'm going to submit and agree with what he's saying.
Right.
Even if
nice.
I'm not different.
Right on.
So thankfully, he still listens to me. He hears me out. He hears my perspective. And then from there, we decide what we're going
to
do.
And Jacoba, would you ever listen to a woman?
Yeah, I listen out to her. I got to hear out my wife and see what's wrong.
But you wouldn't follow her instructions, though, would you?
It depends.
On what?
It depends on if there's something that I, if I'm like, when we started this podcast, she was better with audio than I was. So I had to understand and learn from her. What can I learn from her about audio? You know, there's certain things that
but
she might not.
But would you listen to her about real things, you know, about life and how things should be, life should go and all? Would you listen to that?
Just like I said, it just depends. If there's an area that I'm not sure in and she knows it, then of course.
Amazing. But God said whenever you listen, the man listens to the woman, he suffers.
If my wife knows.
So God would lie?
You say that again?
Was God lying when you said the man suffered when he listened to the woman?
Oh, I got to find where that is in scripture besides Adam and Eve, but I know that I have a wise wife. And like I said, it just depends on the category.
Amazing. So I got to ask, a lot of young people are into sex before marriage. Do you believe that men and women should have sex before marriage?
No.
I do not.
We saved ourselves.
You say no?
I said we don't. We saved ourselves for each other in marriage.
And why should they wait? Either one of you can respond. Why should they wait?
Well, in scripture, I can't remember exactly where, but it says that sexual immorality is a one sin that you commit against yourself.
I think that's 1 Corinthians 7.
Yeah. So like, if you're committing it against yourself, like you think you're doing an act of just somebody else, but it's actually yourself internally, because I do believe in soul ties and all of that. So if you're creating that bond with someone, you're creating those soul ties. So now you're picking up on their baggage as well. And that was meant for marriage, like a beautiful part of marriage that the Lord designed. He did not design that for dating. He designed that for marriage. And dating, then if you guys have sex before marriage and you break up, you still have that person attached to you. You still have that soul tie until you break it. And we don't want to disobey the Lord either. He says not to walk in sexual immorality. And that's exactly what that is. I don't agree with it.
And so for the young people who listen to the show, hear you today, and they've been doing it, they realize, wow, I didn't realize I was wrong. What would you recommend they do at this point?
I'd recommend that, number one, they repent, because we are supposed to repent of our sins. And number two, I'd recommend to set up boundaries and also understand that sexual immorality, a lot of people think that the Lord doesn't want us to have sex before marriage and they think it's a bad thing, but it's actually protection. It's the Lord protecting us. He's a father. He wants to protect us. So if he's wanting to protect me, I'm going to listen to him.
Right.
Like, I'm going to
listen
to my. And so I would just tell them, like, put up boundaries. That's the best thing you can do. Put up boundaries and have accountability. And that's what we did. We had boundaries and we had accountability. So those two things together, now you can walk in purity up until marriage. And if you fall, like I said, repent and continue to move forward. Set up more boundaries if you need to. Like, continue to assess your relationship as you grow. Like, I know for us, the closer we got to marriage, the more boundaries we had to put up, because you're so close to marriage. You're like, we need to be stricter with our boundaries. because we want to walk in purity.
Amazing. And so, Jacoby, are you from the United States, or were you born in Haiti?
I'm from the United States.
Oh, you are. So what's going to happen when you take this white woman back to Haiti?
I personally haven't been to Haiti myself, and I don't speak Creole, so I don't know if I'd want to put ourselves in that situation until things over there calm down.
Right on. Oh, so you never gone there yourself?
I've been there.
Amazing. That's cool. What is a man, Jacoby?
A man?
Yeah.
Man is, I was reading this today, it's created in the image of God.
And Abigail, what is a man?
I agree with what he said. That's how I would put it. He's stealing my answers.
Created in the image of the God, the leader of the household, and is called to love their wife as Christ loved the church, and they're the providers of the house.
And Abigail, what is love?
Love is God. You can't separate the two. And I think a lot of times in today's world, we try to put love in this thing of what people classify it to be, but you don't know love if you don't know God. And that's what God is. He is love. I don't believe that it's a characteristic of him. I believe it's part of his character. It's who he is. He is love. God is love. And it's not like I can say like, oh, Jacoby's so kind. Well, that means it's not a characteristic of him versus Jacoby is kind, like is love. And that's, you know, you can't understand love until you understand God because he's the perfect love. He's, you know.
And do you love all? I'm sorry.
I said we did our first episode on love, and it was so deep because a lot of people say I love chips, like I love TV, and like the real love is someone dying on the cross for you, and we couldn't do it ourselves, and did it before he even knew us, and before we even knew him, and that's what I think real love is.
And do you love all people?
We're called to love all people.
And do you?
Sometimes I do.
At least you're honest.
So you guys don't love all people?
I mean, I give them a chance. I mean, if they, you know, I try my best to love someone until someone, you know, gives me a reason not to, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have people that, oh, I hate you so much. Like, I don't really have anybody that I have a grudge towards or anything.
Abigail, do you love all people?
I try my best, like you said. I feel that we're called to love, like you said.
But we're human. I think at the end of the day, we're all human.
But sometimes loving somebody, like loving people looks different in every relationship. And like how I love my husband is not the same way I'm going to love a friend.
Well,
you know?
No, you're not going to have sex with him. I understand that.
No. What? It's just a different type of relationship.
So let me ask, do you love your enemies?
Yes.
So you love all of your enemies?
Yes, we've had a journey on that this year.
Why don't you love all people then if you love your enemy? How is it possible to love your enemies but not love all people all the time?
I'm saying I love all people, but what he was trying to say is like, we're not perfect. So sometimes you have to get back on track to loving that person. Like sometimes say somebody does you wrong and then you're hurt and you're like, I don't love them anymore. But you have to step outside of yourself and back in with the Lord and love them. Even if loving them just means keeping distance and praying for them. Loving can look like that. And that's how we were instructed. Like we're instructed to love all people. So
Jacoby, what's wrong with the blacks?
With the blacks?
Yeah. What's wrong with the blacks?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the black people.
He's like, what?
Yeah, the blacks. Yeah, what's wrong with the black people?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the black people.
Really? Abigail, what's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know. I don't really think about that. People are people.
So you don't see anything wrong with the blacks?
You're asking me? No, I don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with them.
Really? And you don't see anything wrong with the black, Abigail?
No, I don't. I guess I just don't see from color standpoint. I see more so like person standpoint. Oh. Like, you know, like I'm not going to say like stereotype people into a certain category as far as like their color.
Or else she wouldn't be with me.
Yeah. So, you know.
Do you believe racism exists? Either one of you believe racism exists.
I mean, I believe some people are racist.
And how about you, Abigail?
Yeah.
So both of you believe racism exists, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
And what is your proof that racism exists?
I mean, I was just playing Xbox earlier and people were just saying all types of different slurs. You just see humanity for who it is and the way people talk to other different races. I mean, it's clear. Some people admit it.
And where's your proof that racism exists, Abigail?
I don't necessarily have proof. I would just, you know, I feel like some people are... Like I'm from a very redneck town.
Right,
like,
on.
Yeah, I grew up in a very redneck town.
With
so,
white people.
With white people. And I know some people that if they like have an opinion on me being married to a black man. And that is an example of that, you know.
But
like,
is that racism or their opinion?
I guess, I don't know. I can't answer that, but... I think that racism is more like when they're coming against that person and trying to harm that person, I guess. But
that's violence if they're trying to hurt them. But I still don't see the proof because an opinion of someone is not necessarily racism. It's just someone's opinion, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you guys don't have any proof that racism exists. And yet you believe it does. Because when you were hearing the slur, the bad names, it's just bad people calling you bad names. And you called people bad names before, right, Jacoba?
Oh, we was on a good run.
I know. I know, man. Jacoba, you've called people bad slurs before, right?
I mean, I probably called them something that wasn't their name, but...
Have you done that? Have you called them, use a slur to call people names, yeah. Right? Were you racist?
No.
And so why was it racist when they call you slur names?
They didn't call me a slur name when I was playing the game today. They called somebody else it.
And so but it's just like you have done it. Why was it racist when they did it to someone else? Why was that racist?
There's a difference between calling someone out of their name to like calling them a bum versus calling them something that only their race will be classified. Like black people got a certain thing that they'd be classified. Spanish people got a certain thing that they would be classified. You know, there's the boundary where, you know, you're just crossing the line when you're saying a certain slur versus calling someone like a bum or something.
Well, why can't it just be a bad person using bad language on other people because they're unhappy?
I mean, it could be. I mean, it just all depends on your definition of what racism is.
God never said that our battle was racist. He said our battle was spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principality. Why do you call it something other than what God called it?
Well, I never called it that, but...
You called it racist with the slur, the bad names.
I didn't call it racist.
You said that was your example of racism.
You asked us if we thought racism existed. I said yes.
And you gave me that example.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
But you called that racism then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible racism does not exist? It's just something made up by human beings.
I mean, I don't see anything. I think if you look in the Bible, that if you read the book of Jonah, that he didn't like the people in Nineveh. That's why he didn't want to go there. So I don't know if you classify that as racist or whatever you call that.
Did God call that racist?
I'd have to go look in the book of Jonah, but I know he didn't like those people.
He just didn't like them. Human beings, because human beings are evil, they just, in their evilness, they judge one another and they try to hurt one another and they try to get revenge because their hearts are wicked. It has nothing to do with race.
Yeah, I think the evilness is some people decide to take it to race once they get their insecurities and they get hurt. That's when, yeah, it might be evil, but that's when they, you know,
well, let's call it what it is so that people can see that they're evil. That way they have a chance to get over it because they have the real deal, right? But if you call it something that it's not, you can't get over racism if it doesn't exist. It's just a made up word.
Yeah, that's what you want to call it.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I understand your perspective, where you come from. You know, it's just about how people classify it.
Do you believe human beings are evil?
I believe we are sinful nature. Our sinful nature gives us evil desires, yes.
Abigail, you believe human beings are evil?
I mean, yeah, the sinful nature, we were born into sin.
Right. And so why not call it evil rather than give it a fake name and cover up the devil work?
I mean, I think that your point is good, but I think also, too, at the same time, like, the question, we just kind of like, yeah, I don't think we really thought about it. It was just kind of like, that was our answer, you know, but I understand your perspective, and that makes sense, because at the end of the day, in the Bible, I think it's in Psalms, it says the heart of man is wicked. So yeah. The heart of man is wicked. There's going to be all manifestations of it. It might be in different forms.
Yes.
And it's a matter of recognizing the enemy behind it. Like you said, the principalities in the air and everything. It's recognizing the spirit behind it. It's representing the demonic oppression behind it. And I think that's what everything. Like, we just have to discern it in the spirit and see what's happening behind. It goes back to the roots.
So Christians should call it what it is and not call it what the world call it. The world call it racism because they're covered up for evil. But Christians see that as evil. And you see it as evil, you can make it help the person understand they need to overcome it. They can overcome it. But you can't overcome something that doesn't exist. Racism does not exist. Isn't that amazing?
I hear you.
So, Abigail, are you a feminist?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Have you ever been one?
What'd you say?
Have you ever been a feminist?
No.
Amazing.
Never.
That's cool. Do you believe in abortion? Do you guys support abortion?
No.
And why not?
Because we fully believe that if the person was created in the mother's womb, it was divine intention by the Lord. So that should not be taken away.
Absolutely.
And that's our responsibility.
And that's not, it's not women's rights. It's not that, like, I don't care about women's rights. It's not, you chose to sleep with somebody and get pregnant without protection.
Right.
That was your right to choose yes or no. And now you have a responsibility. And for me, it's like abortion. It's just like, why kill a baby when there's options like adoption? Like, that to me is very hard to comprehend because they were made in the image of God. They have a heartbeat. I've seen like diagrams where it shows like how they do an abortion, and it makes me want to throw up. It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And I think people don't always understand the depth of that, and people care about their own rights more than they do somebody else. And that also comes down to flesh, because people have a selfish nature. And like our pastor described it once of like, if you're in the woods and you're with your kid and they're like 3 or 4 years old and a bear comes to kill your kid, you're going to jump in front of it and save its life. But then when it's in the womb, you're not going to save its life. It doesn't go hand in hand.
That's a good example. So
we need to protect the children in our womb the same way. Like if something's wrong with my kid, even if the doctor says that there's a high risk of me dying, I'm saying, I rebuke that. I'm having this child. I don't care.
Right.
I don't.
And G. Cole, Lord, go ahead. Abigail, finish that point.
The Lord made that baby. Like they were knitted in our womb with intention and with purpose, and God doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
So.
And G. Cole, what would happen? Let's say a woman over in Ohio, right? And then she got raped by one of those Haitian men that's over there right now. And she got raped and got pregnant. Should she kill the baby?
I mean, I don't think she would kill the baby. That's still, just because he sinned, I still don't think that's right.
Right on.
That's sin.
Yeah. I saw our pastor also, he had a message on abortion. He was saying how there was this couple, a missionaries couple in Africa, and they were about to have their, I don't know how many, I think it was their 8th baby. Anyway, they had a lot of babies already, but they said that this was a parasite inside of this baby, so they would be better off not letting the baby be born and killing it. And they said, no, we prayed over this baby that we're going to have this baby, end up having the baby, and today that baby is Tim Tebow.
Wow. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. And imagine if that baby, you know, they would have aborted that baby, what would have happened? We would have not heard of that famous Tim Tebow, one of the biggest Christians, made Gators football on the map.
So. Yeah.
I know. Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
And so did you guys vote for the Great White Hope?
What did you say?
Did you guys vote for the Great White Hope?
I don't know. What's the Great White Hope?
You don't know who the Great White Hope is? No. Do you know Abigail?
No.
You don't know who the Great White Hope is, Abigail. You know your own people.
Is that Trump?
Yes.
Yes, we must.
I call him the Great White Hope.
I've never heard him referred to as the Great White Hope.
Me either.
But so yes, you guys voted for the Great White Hope?
Yes.
Fist bump. Right on. Right on. So one other question, then I got to put you on the hot seat. What do your friends think about the way you think and what you believe? What do they think about you guys? Do they like you or do they argue with you? What do they think about you guys? You're so young.
Yeah, we have a lot of friends that are thankfully equally yoked with us. So they're on the same level-headed, like where we're at, and agree with what we agree with and believe what we believe. And then we have some friends that aren't there yet and don't agree with us. And for me, it's like, I'm not going to sit here and fight with you. I'm going to love you where you're at. And just because you voted for someone I didn't vote for doesn't mean we can't have a relationship. And that's pretty much any of our friends. That's how it is. It's like, even if we don't agree on something, we're not going to let that ruin a friendship.
Right on.
Like, no reason.
That's amazing. I got to put you guys on the hot seat. So I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
Do we need more white babies?
I don't know. I think we need more babies.
Do we need more white babies?
More babies.
Yes.
What do you say to that, Abigail? Do we need more white babies?
I agree with we just need babies in general. Doesn't
We're called
matter.
Being the, fruitful.
Yeah.
But how about white babies?
I don't think
the color matters.
Should dual citizenship be illegal?
Dual citizenship?
Yeah, dual citizenship. Citizenship, should it be illegal?
No.
And you said, Jacoba?
Dual citizenship as if you're a citizen in multiple nations?
Yeah. Let's say you're a citizen of America. Should you be a citizen of Israel or somewhere else and have a dual citizenship?
I think you should just be a citizen in one nation.
Should we ship the illegals back to wherever they came from?
No, I think if they're here in America, then they deserve opportunity to, say, live the American dream.
So what do you say? Should we ship, Abigail, should we ship the illegals back to their country?
I think that if they need to go through the proper process, I don't think they should just be living without any ID or without any processing.
And so should the illegals be allowed to stay or should we ship them back?
I don't really think about that, I'm being honest.
Is it illegal to cross the borders into America?
I believe so. If you don't have paperwork, then yeah.
And so why should we let them stay since they broke the law to get here?
Well, I mean, it depends on the situation.
But they broke the law.
Yeah.
I think if they broke the law, then they should go back. Like I said, I think it should be done the proper way where you go through all the stuff and the steps to get the green card and stuff.
So if I'm black and slow, so I'm asking, so meaning that if they broke the law, the proper way is for us to put them on a bus and take them back to the borders and jump them off on the side of the border, right? Is that what you mean?
I guess.
However, their proper way of getting them where they're supposed to be.
Right, drop them back across the border. Just dump them over there, right? Right?
Whatever their proper way of being deported is. I don't know.
Abigail, the earth flat around.
Round.
Jacoby, Mexican food or Haitian food?
I'm definitely going to have to go with Haitian food.
Abigail, does a chicken have lips?
Have what?
Lips.
Does a chicken have lips?
Have lips or lettuce?
Lips. No. No, they have a beak. Right? A pet. Not lips.
I'm sorry?
No.
Jacoby, is it ever okay for a man to hit a woman?
No.
Abigail, Drake or Kendrick Lamar?
Neither. We don't listen to secular music.
Jacoby, should blacks be allowed to call each other the N-word?
Oh, I mean, it just depends if someone else is comfortable with calling them that.
Abigail, have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
Nope, I don't know what that means.
Like it's a joke.
What? No. Have you ever done that, Jacoby?
No.
You never told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
I've not.
Amazing. Did you have fun?
Yes.
Tell the people how to get your podcast, your books, and all the good stuff you guys are doing out there.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram or on YouTube or TikTok, Father's Joy Podcast. We drop every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So you can check out all of our social media handles on Father's Joy Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of the stuff.
Dropping a new episode tomorrow.
And so you, every Wednesday, you say?
Yeah, 7 p.m. EST. I know you guys are in Los Angeles, so that's
right.
4 p.m.
We're Pacific time, yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for taking on the hot seat. It was amazing. I'm glad to meet you. Thank you so much, all right?
Good to meet you.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to help us out by going to thefallestate.tv/donate or clicking the link on locals.com to support our work. Check out our merch. Like, follow, ring the bell. Tell your mama. Tell your daddy. Tell a woman. Whatever. About the show. And if you'd like to see a guest on the show, contact my producer at producer@thefallestate.tv. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Amazing. Bye now.